Here's a wild stat for you. Job seekers who reach out directly to hiring managers are 2 times more likely to land interviews. We've seen it over and over and over with our coaching clients. But most people either skip cold outreach because it feels awkward, time-consuming, or like, what the hell do I even say? Or worse, they don't skip it, but they do it wrong and make a bad impression. That's why I put together our interview-getting email templates with over 15 email and LinkedIn message templates, follow-up emails, AI prompts for quick customization, and a super, super simple strategy to help you book more interviews, all within minutes. You can grab them right now at carlyagar.com/emails, or just click the link in today's show notes. But do it fast, because these won't be available much longer. You're listening to the Customer Success Career Coach. In today's episode, I'm going to break down exactly what 2 of my clients did to land 120K roles in customer success just this month. So if you're job searching right now and wondering, what do I need to show to get notice for roles in that $120,000 range? This episode is going to be your cheat sheet. You're going to want to stay until the end because I'm going to share the exact action plan you can use to position yourself for these roles, even if you have career gaps or come from different industries, even if you don't have perfect experience. What if the only thing standing between you and your next big career milestone is just a strategy you haven't heard yet? I'm Carly Agar, customer success veteran, award-winning career coach, and your go-to for getting hired and promoted in customer success. Whether you're breaking into the field or ready to level up into leadership, this podcast is your shortcut to real career growth. Every episode is packed with practical takeaways, data-backed strategies, and zero fluff advice that actually works, so you can start making moves towards your goals immediately. If you're ready to take control of your career, well, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Customer Success Career Coach Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Customer Success Career Coach. If you're new to the show, hi, welcome. I'm Carly. I'm a career coach for job seekers in customer success. If you're not new, thank you for coming back week after week. You know how much I love and appreciate you. Today, we're talking about what actually gets you hired for customer success roles right in that $120,000 annual salary range. And this is all going to be based on 2 clients of ours who just secured these positions. I'm recording this late June of 2025. So this is super, super recent data. Here's what makes this episode different and especially interesting and helpful. Neither of these clients I'm going to tell you about today had what anyone would consider a perfect background. One of them had an over 2-year career gap. She came from operations. The other spent 7 years selling wine before jumping back into customer success. But they both got hired because they made 2 things crystal, crystal clear to hiring managers, which is that they can own revenue outcomes and they can scale processes. What you need to know right now if you're job seeking or plan to in the near future is hiring teams in customer success are under pressure to prove that their hires can drive revenue and help scale customer success operations, which means hiring teams are looking for strategic thinkers. They're looking for people who take initiative. They don't just do their job, but they seek to make everyone more efficient and effective. And they also need folks who can protect and grow revenue. So I'm going to dig into exactly what their backgrounds looked like, what experience they had, what experiences they didn't have, some specific things from their resumes, how all of this stuff lined up with today's hiring priorities. And by the end, it'll be super clear where you stand against some of your competition and what to start showcasing if you want to be in their spots. And definitely stick around because I'm going to share a mindset shift that is more important than having a perfect background, and it might actually surprise you. So let's get one thing out there right away. Neither of these clients had a quote-unquote perfect background. Lisa came from a business operations role with an over 2-year gap from customer success. Her last CS role was in education technology, but that ended in 2021. So that was 4 years ago. Kathleen had an extensive background in sales at a winery. Yes, a real winery. And before that, her CS experience was building the customer success function at WeWork, which is very impressive, but there's a challenge with that experience because it is not a SaaS company. And that was all the way back 9 years ago. So neither of these clients had the perfect customer success career path on paper by any means. Neither of them climbed from SMB to mid-market to enterprise CS. Neither had like extensive CS certifications or even hugely recognizable SaaS companies on their resumes. But when we look at the two together and we analyze what questions they were asked in their interviews and the patterns that we can find on their resumes and the roles that they were hired into, we can find and we can boil down that they both demonstrated two things that hiring managers desperately need right now, which is the ability to scale and the ability to drive revenue. Let's talk about revenue ownership. Gone are the days of hiring managers just looking to see like that you managed accounts or improved CSAT or hosted QBRs. It's not to say those things are no longer important, but what hiring managers really need to see right now is how much revenue did you own? Did you grow that revenue? Did you protect revenue? And can you quantify those achievements? So let's look at some things from Lisa's resume. She talked about how she managed a $5 million ARR portfolio of enterprise accounts, but even more specifically, she exceeded her net revenue retention goals by an average of 20% over 4 years. That's four consecutive years of beating revenue targets. First of all, that is not easy. And secondly, what I can tell you from looking at hundreds of resumes a month is that is very rare. Kathleen's resume also showed revenue ownership. So she talked about how she managed a $3 million ARR portfolio, which is smaller than $5 million, but she was able to grow specific accounts over 330%. The revenue from those accounts, she grew 3x. She also increased average annual customer spend by up to 40% year over year. So what I'm seeing across these two resumes is they're not just talking about the accounts they manage. They're not just talking about the ARR they manage, but they have some really solid, undeniable revenue impact. Hitting and exceeding your NRR targets for 4 years is crazy, crazy impressive. And being able to grow accounts by 330%, again, also super crazy. And it takes a lot to impress me. I feel very comfortable saying that because I look at so many resumes. So it's hard for something to actually jump out at the page and make me say, oh, wow, that's different. I've not seen that before. So this is just to give you a taste of what it's taking right now to land roles in that 120K range. But there's something that's different about these candidates is they're not just showing revenue impact, they're also showing how they can turn their wins and their accomplishments into repeatable processes that others on the team can use to get the same results. And this is where scaling comes in. We know that every CS team right now is focused on scaling. How can we do more with less? How can we do one to many? How can we be more efficient? So this is where the gap to me really shows up between candidates who get those 120K offers and those who don't. Most CS job seekers right now can talk about how they follow existing processes. If you can't follow a process, then you're probably not in CS. But hiring managers for these higher level, higher paying roles need to see something different. They don't just need to know that you can follow processes. That is table stakes. They need evidence that you can build processes from nothing and scale things that are working for you beyond just your own performance and spill over into team and even company performance. So I want to give you really specific examples of how this showed up for Lisa and Kathleen on their resumes and in their interview stories. With Lisa, at one of her companies, she didn't just manage her own enterprise account. She wasn't just focused on her book of business, but she built an entire activation or adoption playbook that ended up getting rolled out across 10 other enterprise accounts, some of those not being her own accounts. And she intentionally built this playbook because she felt that their adoption strategy within the enterprise segment was way too one-to-one and was not scalable. Even further, she didn't just talk about how she trained customers on her platform, but she actually developed a whole customer-facing training portal that was then used and implemented across 75% of all paid accounts. That is something that impacted the engagement, not just in her book, but for a team of 20 account managers. That is showcasing serious, serious ability to scale. That is where you start to step into making an impact on your company, not just your book of business. Kathleen's examples were honestly just as impressive. She didn't just crush it in her own role. She actually scaled an entire sales team from 7 to 17 people and was able to maintain 97% employee retention. I'll tell you, anyone who doubles the size of a team and then some, it is very hard to retain employees when you're growing that rapidly. So the fact that she was able to scale that team really speaks to her ability to scale. At the winery, she saw that they had no true sales playbook. They had no real B2B playbook. So what she did was she went out and built her own playbook. She tested things, she experimented, she tracked data, she figured out what worked, what didn't work. And that became the company-wide sales playbook that ended up driving over $1 million in new revenue. Another accomplishment of Kathleen's was she talked about using Salesforce. She didn't just talk about how she was an end user of Salesforce, but she inserted herself in the evaluation, selection, and implementation of Salesforce for the entire go-to-market organization. That is scaling. That is where you step out of, oh, I'm just making an impact on my book of business. I've got my head down. I'm, you know, doing a good job with my accounts, to holy shit, this person is making a meaningful impact on the team, the department, and the bottom line. So the pattern here is hopefully obvious. Both of these candidates saw gaps, they built solutions, and then they were able to scale those solutions across teams. What hiring managers think when they see and hear things like this from candidates is, okay, this person is not just going to come in and execute their book of business, but they can actually seriously make some of our biggest problems go away. And that is oftentimes what is needed to separate you in today's job market. Now, shifting away from what is really good on paper about these two clients to something that most people stress about, and that is career gaps and non-traditional career paths. Both Lisa and Kathleen, I mentioned this at the beginning, had significant gaps in their experience, but specifically in their customer success experience. But instead of trying to hide these things on their resumes or hide these things in interviews, they were very upfront and transparent about it. And I want to share a little bit from coaching sessions that we had and how we talked about these things in our interview prep sessions, and ultimately how they were able to position their past experience. So Lisa had spent time in business operations for many years before deciding to get back into customer success. And instead of saying like, yeah, I left CS to go do business ops, She marketed that as in this role, she was scaling processes in a hyper-growth environment with a $13 million budget. That's exactly what CSMs need to do. They need to have ownership of a lot of money. They need to be able to scale processes, and they need to be able to get that done in an environment that is always changing. And then with Kathleen, she was able to frame her winery sales experience as essentially being equivalent to enterprise account management because she was actually selling B2B. She was forming these multi-threaded relationships. She was doing a ton of contract negotiations. And that's what a lot of enterprise CSM work actually is. So instead of her saying, yeah, no, this role wasn't really relevant, she was able to position it as something that is super, super adjacent to customer success. And it's not even the same industry, right? One would argue that a winery and a SaaS business model could not be more different. But the key here is you can land a high-paying role without perfect experience. It's okay if you have career gaps. It's okay if you stepped away from CS and are coming back to it. It's okay if you have a lot of years of experience that are not directly CS. You just need to know how to position them so that it makes sense to hiring managers and they can understand it and see the value in that time. And this brings me to the mindset shift that matters, honestly, so much more than having a perfect background. Hiring managers always tell me, I need someone who can come in and make CS more efficient. I don't just need people to keep their clients happy. I really need someone who's going to come in and make a difference. That is the new game we're playing as customer success job seekers. It's no longer about getting across on your resume and your interviews that you can manage relationships. Honestly, everyone assumes you can manage relationships. It's no longer cool or impressive or helpful to say, I'm great at managing relationships. We get it. Everyone's great at managing relationships. It is about problem solving and process optimization. And even further, I would say, when I sat down and really, really looked at, okay, what made Lisa and Kathleen stand out? What makes them special? Thinking about all the resumes I look at on a daily and monthly basis, what is it that I'm taking away from these two candidates? And it was so clear to me that they both portrayed such an ownership mindset. They operate like owners, not just employees. They are excited to own problems. They are excited to own outcomes. They're not just sitting around and doing what they're being told to do. They are going out, building solutions, trying to make an impact beyond themselves, and they're taking accountability for revenue outcomes, which is huge. And I'm confident at the end of the day, this ownership mindset is why their career gaps didn't matter, is why they were able to beat out what I'm sure are so many more quote-unquote perfect candidates on paper for these roles, because hiring managers don't care as much about a perfect path. They need people who can walk into a role and immediately start solving problems. So if you're listening and you're wondering, okay, Carly, what do I do with all this information? I don't have the same experience as these two candidates. What does this mean for me? I'm going to give you a short little game plan with four steps. So if you're ready for it, let's go. First step, identify throughout your career what you've built, not just what you did or what you managed, but what things did you create from scratch? What systems did you improve or fix? What did you scale beyond just your own role or your own book of business? If you can't answer these questions, go create an example. Go find an opportunity to do this. Even the smallest little improvement will count. Step two, track your own revenue metrics. Do not wait for your perfect dashboards from your company. Do not wait for your company to calculate your own NRR or your expansion rates or your churn saves. Document everything related to revenue every single month over month over month, have all of those numbers written down, because you never know when you're going to lose access to that data. And guess what? It's your job to track that information, not your employer's. Third, any career gaps that you have or non-traditional experience that you have on your resume, make sure you are reframing it so that it makes sense to customer success hiring teams. Don't just say, oh, you know, I have two CSM roles, so I'm just going to be lazy with that third role on my resume that is not customer success and just kind of leave it as is. No, that's so crazy. Don't do that. Make sure you are tailoring it and adapting it and making it sound as relevant to customer success as you possibly can. And step four, make sure that you are on your resume and in your interviews demonstrating your scaling and ownership mentality. How do you look at things that are happening right now and think, how could this be more efficient? How could we do more with less? How could we get the same outcome while putting in slightly less effort? How am I enabling other people to see the success that I'm seeing? That is scaling. That is ownership. The bottom line here is 120K roles go to people who can own revenue and build scalable solutions, regardless of linear career paths or career gaps. You do not have to be perfect on paper. You just have to show that you're thinking like someone who can make CS better. That's it for this episode. If this helped reframe how you think about your resume or your interviews or just your overall positioning strategy, please send me a DM on LinkedIn and let me know what resonated with you. And if you want help turning your experience into a resume that gets noticed for these higher level roles, grab my free resume training. It's carlyagar.com/freebies. We'll make sure we put the link in the episode notes. I break down in that free training exactly what language to use and what metrics to highlight, so you don't even have to think about it. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next one. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you love today's episode, or if you want to continue the conversation, come hang out with me on LinkedIn. Connect with me, follow me, or message me over there. I'm at linkedin.com/in/Carly-Agar. And if you haven't already, don't forget to follow the show wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. I'll catch you next time.